from the Word tonight, from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, and his sermon's entitled Lost in the World Outside of Eden. And I'd like to read both chapters, the first two chapters, I should say, of Ecclesiastes, but broken that up into two readings. So we'll read firstly Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, these are the words of Solomon. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Amen. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 to 23. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks. more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, "What happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise?" And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies, just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labours under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity.
Well, good evening, folk. Lovely to see you all here as we end this evening by studying God's Word. And I'm sure many of you, like I, love the book of Ecclesiastes. It is such a wonderful book for us to study. It really is a really amazingly profound examination of the frustrations of life. And we see here the great King Solomon trying to find joy and meaning and fulfillment in many avenues outside of a relationship with God. And we see all around us today, our neighbours, even family members, our colleagues, doing these exact same things. And yet this man who was empowered by God, who was given a great amount of wisdom, God answered his prayer and gave him great wisdom, he explored all of the different ways people try to make a name for themselves, to find meaning and purpose, to leave behind a legacy. And he found in every avenue, nothing but frustration and despair unless we are living and walking before the Lord in all we do. So it's a very, very timely book, a very timely word for us, especially today in this kind of crazy pandemic postmodern world in which we live. So we're going to unpack these first two chapters together. The great Scottish preacher Sinclair Ferguson, I'm sure many of you have heard of him through the Ligonier Ministries, he said that we have in the 21st century Western world a crisis of identity. People today, especially our young folk, are being told that there is no given meaning in the world. There's no meaning in life except that which you make it. They're being told today that they have evolved from protoplasm. They have no more inherent value than bacteria. And so people are trying to find and make meaning by consensus. And so we have, of course, the rise of postmodernism, the rise of a modern version of Marxism. People are trying to find meaning and purpose in many different ways. Folk trying to fight against climate change, extinction rebellion, trying to find purpose and meaning in saving the earth. Others try to find it in pleasure, living for the next great party, the next great kind of shebang. Many of our rugby league players, AFL players, kind of live in this great bubble of hedonism and self-indulgence. Is meaning found there? Well, King Solomon had much more means and the ability to be able to indulge himself than any AFL or NRL player. And yet, he found in every avenue frustration and despair as he tried to find meaning outside of a relationship with God. We see, of course, that the rise of the great billionaires of our age who are flying into space, making billions of dollars, accruing massive wealth. And yet, age comes to them, their bodies break down, and they find only frustration and despair, even in all their financial power. And so we may ask ourselves, where is meaning found? Where is peace found? Where is the good life found? Because you'll hear all over your TV, your smartphones, your social media, many ideas of where the good life is found. But God gave us this book, written 3,000 years ago by the smartest man who ever lived outside of Christ, and he points us to God. Meaning is found, joy is found, peace is found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everywhere outside of that is only frustration and despair. So we called it Lost in the World Outside of Eden, because Solomon finds in every aspect of his great exploration of life frustration. And we are reminded that we live in a world that is under the curse. Now, this is certainly a book written by the great King Solomon. As you recall, when he first became king, God said, "You know, what do you want from me?" And he asked for wisdom, and God gave him great wisdom, greater than all who came before him. And yet, even in his wisdom, King Solomon, at a time in his life, turned away from God, chasing after the pleasures of the flesh, and he chased after many gods. We read of his terrible decline in 1 Kings 11, how he accrued for himself 700 wives, many of whom were foreign princesses, 300 concubines, and we're told that his wives turned away his heart. His wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to Yahweh his God, as was the heart of David his father. And so Bible scholars believe, and I entirely agree, that late in life, a repentant King Solomon looks back over his life, over his years, and considers the many times he tried to find joy and purpose and pleasure outside of God, and he looks back with great and profound regret. A very old King Solomon here looks back and he urges us to learn the lessons he learned the hard way. Life only has meaning when we live it before our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. And even we as Christians can be lured by the temptations of our age, living for career, living for wealth, living for the next great holiday, for the next great pleasure. We will only find joy and peace when we live all of life before Jesus as his followers. Now, I call this lost in the world outside of Eden because we see here throughout this book frustration. And we read in Romans 8 verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children." There is a frustration in life. We find it in so many spheres of our life, a frustration, a brokenness, a toilsome nature in this world today. We live in a broken world, and we need to read and reread the great wisdom books like Ecclesiastes to be reminded not to be go down side routes, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so point one is this: the futility of worldly living. And so we have here the first three verses are key to this entire book. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun?" Now we're going to unpack this because this is the key to the entire book. So firstly, the word preacher in your ESV is this Hebrew word koheleth. And it means literally the speaker in the assembly. The word kahal is the Hebrew word for assembly. Koheleth is the speaker in the assembly. It can also mean the preacher. It can also mean the deep investigator or the collector of great things. And so he's writing as this investigator or as the speaker in the assembly, and he writes what he has found through his many years of life, including his years of backsliding when he turned away from Yahweh, what he has learned from that time. And he finds life outside of relationship with God is vanity. And so we have this beautiful, powerful word translated vanity. If you have the NIV, it's translated meaningless. The word is hevel in the Hebrew. It's a beautiful word, hevel. It literally means breath, vapor, a disappearing mist. It means it's utterly transient. And he says it's vanity of vanities or hevel of hevels. So in ancient Hebrew, if you wanted to emphasize something, you wouldn't say very, you would say the word twice. So we read about the temple, the Holy of Holies. It means the most incredibly holy place. King Solomon wrote this beautiful love song, and he called it the Song of Songs, meaning most beautiful song. And so when he says vanity of vanities, or literally hevel of hevel, he's saying life is just this transient vapor. It's so frustrating, it's so fleeting, it's so fragile, it's almost without meaning. It's just a breath on a cold day. And living in Canberra, you know all about breathing a nice, your steamy breath into the cold air, and it disappears in a second. He's saying life has no fleeting a meaning. It's just gone. When I was about 5 years old, I had a dream one night, and I can remember it many, many years later. I dreamed I woke up and I had a huge black and white panda teddy bear. It was about the size of me. It was the greatest teddy bear I'd ever seen. And I hugged this huge panda teddy bear and then woke up with great grief. My panda teddy bear was gone. Well, this is the same kind of meaning here in hevel. It's like chasing after something, and it's just gone. It just disappears. It was never there at all. It's a fleeting morning breath. And he's saying all the things he tried to find joy in are vapor, fleeting, gone, worthless even. And verse 3 is very, very important to understand Solomon's mindset as he explored these many avenues, as he looked for meaning and purpose. Verse 3, he says, "What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun?" Now, throughout the book, we read time and time again this phrase, "under the sun." And in this context, it means life lived looking only at life on the horizontal level, not considering our Creator, not considering our Redeemer, but just trying to find joy and meaning in life under the sun. And he's saying that when he tried to find joy, when he tried to make a legacy purely on physical terms, not considering his Creator, he found vapor, he found hevel, he found frustration, he found vanity. Now, we have to acknowledge that he's writing as a man who had strayed from walking with Yahweh. And he strayed terribly for much of his life. But as he writes, his wisdom stayed with him. And he was able to turn back and consider his ways again. And we have this wonderful conclusion that we are called to live all of life before God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It's a stark contrast from Psalm 119, where the psalmist delights in God's Torah, in God's instruction. The psalmist is living life right. He's living life before God, finding joy and delight in God's word. This is rather the view of a man who tried materialism and found it was absolutely frustrating. The writer Henry David Thoreau wrote the famous line, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." And Solomon, writing much earlier, can see the same thing. He says, men labor at their toil, and what do they gain? Verse 4, a generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. He finds frustration in the endless cycles and the fleeting nature of life. I watched one of those beautiful David Attenborough documentaries. It was about life at the North Pole. And you saw all of these animals fighting to live, and this endless struggle of life and death, trying to beat the cold, trying to beat the predators, trying to raise their young and only to die and then do it all again. And it just looked exhausting. And Solomon says, I looked at the world. It's exhausting. Life is exhausting. It's an endless weariness. All things, verse 8, are full of weariness. This endless struggle. He says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Yes, of course, we have new technology. But the frustrations of life, the hardness of life, the kind of endless cycles of life just keep on going on. As I was exploring Israel, I saw some amazing diggings. I saw this beautiful ancient city. They had essentially flush toilets. The water ran through. They had toilet seats. They had water piped in, running water, taps. Made 2,000 years ago by these amazing, incredibly clever engineers. Where are they? Dead and gone and totally forgotten. And Solomon sees the same thing. He says, there is no remembrance, verse 11, of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. It's all been done. If you're living to try to leave behind some great legacy, some huge building or some great project, it's a waste of time. It's hevel. It's frustration. If you live for your achievements, you will find frustration if you can't achieve them. And if you can, you'll find despair. Because even the greatest achievements don't bring true joy and true purpose and true peace. They will bring, ultimately, frustration. Well, point two is this. Worldly wisdom brings no relief. Brings no relief. There's this great movement today called minimalism. You've all seen those books about, you know, declutter your house and you declutter your life. This great movement of saying, get rid of all your belongings, live light. And you can see these guys going around giving out hugs, saying, we have found the meaning of life. It's by not accumulating. It's by getting rid of all your stuff and living light and easy. But as an ultimate goal, that is utterly meaningless. And it won't bring lasting joy. And King Solomon tried all these things 3,000 years ago, and he found nothing but frustration. So he says here that in verse 13, I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. And he had the money and the means to do so. And he says, it is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. It's chasing after the wind because we live in a Genesis 3 world. The world is under the curse. Creation is groaning under the curse. There is a frustration in the world today, and it's seen in every country, in every time, in every place, in every political system. No new political party or leader will ever end the frustration, the hevel, the brokenness in this world, because this world is under the curse of sin. Now, we are different. We have been saved through faith in Jesus, saved out of the frustration of this world. And yet, we still live in a Genesis 3 world. We know that work will at times be hard and frustrating. We are called to repent of being full of pride, of finding our meaning and purpose in our studies, our achievements. We are to find our meaning and purpose in being beloved, adopted children of God. And more than that, we know that when we are in Christ, God is redeeming even our frustration, even our hurts, even our labors. We read this wonderful verse, Romans 8:28. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. We have been saved out of the frustration and brokenness of this world. And so we see there again in verses 16 through 18 of chapter 1. Solomon has been given amazing wisdom, and he tries to find meaning, again, outside of God, and finds frustration. You are studying a broken world. You are living in a life often filled with great frustration. And he says, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Even if you have a cushy PhD and you're being paid to study, you find frustration, you find weariness even in study, because we are living in a world that is broken, and we will find frustration at every turn outside of looking to Jesus. Well, point two is this: the futility of chasing pleasure. Looking now at chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. There's a famous t-shirt that bikies often wear which says, he who dies with the most toys wins. Well, I heard of a guy who went to a bikie gathering wearing a different shirt. He's a Christian. And it said, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And it went over like a lead balloon with the bikies. But he was showing the futility of trying to say that accumulating has any kind of merit in it at all. And King Solomon found the exact same thing 3,000 years ago. If you watch the ads for the lottery, you're told if you win the lottery, you've got the good life. All of your labors have come to an end. You've won the lottery. You can fly choppers around the world. You can live on some tropical beach. You'll live the good life. And yet, studies show time and time again, lottery winners find nothing but brokenness and frustration, and usually lose their entire fortune. Lottery does not bring the good life. People believe today that if you just live for the next weekend, get through your working week, and then party on Friday through Sunday, that's where joy is found. King Solomon tried the exact same thing and found nothing but vanity. Look at verse 2, he says, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during their few days of their life. He tried the Australian dream, the great never-ending party, and he had the money to do it, and found frustration. He found brokenness. It didn't bring joy. Living for pleasure, living for hedonism brought frustration. So he tried a different tack. I'll accumulate huge wealth and beautiful things. And again, he finds only frustration. Look at that in verse 4. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had a great possession of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got myself singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. And yet, he found nothing but vanity. Verse 11, I found vanity. All was vanity and a striving after wind. There is nothing to be gained under the sun. And he indeed had incredible wealth, and yet he found it was nothing but vanity, nothing but brokenness. R.C. Sproul says, if you live for great wealth, you'll come to one of two ends. If you can't get the wealth, you will find nothing but frustration. If you can get the wealth, you find nothing but despair, because wealth doesn't bring joy and peace. It brings only worry about losing your wealth. It brings only frustration. It brings hevel. Well, King Solomon also tried to live for pure physical pleasure. He acquired hundreds of wives and concubines, again breaking the law of God doing so. He didn't have to commit adultery like David his father. He just married them all. 1,000 wives and concubines. That's an awful lot. And yet, what happened? His wives turned his heart away from God, and he found only brokenness, and he walked terribly into sin. It brought only frustration. We were not made to pursue pleasure. It brings a momentary bit of joy, and then terrible brokenness, broken relationships, regret, and bitterness. You were made to love God and to delight in him. Jesus said we were made to love God with all our hearts and all our minds and to love our neighbours as ourselves. When we live for and serve ourselves, we find exactly what Solomon found. Hevel, frustration, no meaning, no joy, nothing but pure despair. And our last point is this, point 4. The ultimate frustration, losing it all. Looking at verses 12 through 23. Well, let's read this last section. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, and there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet, I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after the wind. I hated all my toil, in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labours under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. He lived for achievement. He lived to accumulate and found brokenness. And it robbed him of his sleep. He found no joy, no purpose in them. And in verse 19 he says, and who knows if the next king, the one who gets all this stuff I've made, will be wise or a fool. And of course, his son Rehoboam was a fool and lost 10/12 of the kingdom through his folly. It was vanity. He's labored, he's explored all these amazing projects and accumulations and found vanity, because we are living in a broken world and we were not made to live to serve ourselves. God made us to love him, to delight in him, to be redeemed through faith in Jesus. Only when we are in right relationship with our Creator do we leave behind the hevel, the frustration, the vanity of this world. Well, 1,000 years after Solomon, Jesus came into the earth. And speaking of himself, he said this, "One greater than Solomon is here. He came as the wisdom of God." Paul writes that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He calls him in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the wisdom of God. True wisdom is found in Jesus. And he came to restore us to our Heavenly Father. He has overcome this world with his terrible curse, its terrible brokenness. We will find joy and meaning and peace when we come to faith in Jesus. And yet, we still live in a Genesis 3 world. We are still surrounded by frustration. Life can still be very difficult at times for Christians, but we have been rescued from the frustration of this world, and the best is yet to come. As we heard this morning, if you are in Christ, you have an amazing inheritance being laid up for you in heaven. And that inheritance will have no hevel, no frustration, no brokenness. Praise God, he has redeemed us from the brokenness of this world. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That is the solution to the frustration Solomon found. Come to Jesus. And you can hear he's addressing all of us who have been broken and frustrated by the vanity of this world. And he says, "Come to me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He has overcome this world. He has broken the curse and he is preparing a glorious inheritance for us in heaven. The way to live the good life is to follow Jesus. Let's now bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very wonderful wisdom book, Lord. And we, Father, we see so much of the ways people try to live were the ways that Solomon tried to live, Lord. And yet we see, Father, as the Holy Spirit led him, he found only frustration and vanity in living for the ways of the people of this world, Father, chasing after pleasure and wealth and accumulation, Lord. Father, help us to learn the lesson of this wonderful book, to find our joy in you our loving Heavenly Father, to find our identity in being your own chosen, beloved, adopted children, Lord. And Father, help us to go forward this week fixing our eyes on Jesus, who has overcome the world and who is our loving Good Shepherd, our Lord and Saviour. And in his name we pray. Amen.